One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, Everlywell, and Bombas. God, I love all of them. Get involved. I'll tell you about it. Okay? Just wait. Wait and listen. Look and listen. Think about it. All right. I'm recording this podcast. This is awkward, awkward, awkward. So the new boyfriend whom I actually talk about on the podcast, the one that's going to come after this intro, I'm visiting Indianapolis, where he's from, and I am recording this from the bedroom of one of his parents' homes, and I have requested that they stay quiet downstairs. So Greg and his dad are downstairs just chatting, hanging out. They were previously like watching TV and enjoying their life, but I was like, I have to do podcast stuff, and I want to do podcast stuff also because I love you guys. But I'm wondering how loud my voice is for them. Yeah, but whatever, I don't really care. Anywho's will be. Okay. Guys, we're gonna have a great podcast today, but before that, I have to tell you a story. Let's just call me Yosemite Sam. That's who I am now. That is... Some things have happened. So the new boyfriend, Greg, he owns some property in Colorado. So if you follow me on Instagram, and if you don't, do it, Rachel O'Brien, or Rachel N. O'Brien, it reads like Rachel No Brian, R-A-C-H-A-E-L. He owns some property in Colorado, and so I've been going out there a lot to visit him, and his property, so I stay in Denver, which is amazing. I love Denver, love Red Rocks. I just recently stayed at the Oxford Hotel, which was gorgeous. So the last time I did the podcast and mentioned hotels in Denver, I stayed at the Crawford. This time it was Oxford. They're affiliated. They're both amazing. The Oxford, by the way, has the best staff ever. Like, if you just want to have people treat you with so much respect and kindness, and they're hilarious, stay at the Oxford in Denver and hang out at the cruise room. It's like this lounge thing there. Anyways, so I sometimes stay in Denver when I come to Colorado, but I also then go to his ranch, and it's not fully done, like the house situation, but it is kind of off the beaten path. It's about 2 hours from Denver. It's in the middle of nowhere. When I say really, like, I'm from a small town. 3,000 people is the count of where I went to high school, but where his ranch is, look, the nearest town where you go to the grocery store or do whatever is, I don't know, maybe 500 people. It's small. So I'm used to small. This is extra small, where they just like make up their own hours, like whenever business they're going to be open. It's like, meh, it's Wednesday at 2 p.m. We're good now. We're going to close. So you just never know. So I've been to the ranch a couple times now, and I was like, talking to, so there's other friends that live on the ranch full time, and they're running a business, and I was like, God, guys, we gotta like check out the town, you know, let's go hang out there. And I kind of was really intrigued by the fact that it was really small, and it was gonna be, you know, I'm from a pretty redneck place, I don't know if that's offensive to say, but this was to another degree. So I have been into the little town that's near the ranch like one or two times just to go to this grocery store. I didn't really realize how, you know, remote it was until I decided to go for a run. So I ran from the ranch to the town and was just really paying attention to everything going on. And I was like, oh, this is a small town for sure. So, but I was like kind of intrigued by it. So we're all hanging out on the ranch. We have, you know, we've barbecued, we got a bonfire going. I was like, we should go out. Let's go out. Let's hit the town. And they're like, I don't think that any like bars are even open. Like it's sort of up to their discretion. And I was like, well, let's figure it out. Let's call them. And so they call, and one of the bars was like, well, we're going to stay open until 11 p.m. or something. So I was like, hit it. We got time. Let's go. Rock and roll. So we go into town and we go to this bar, and it's more of like cafeteria style, in the sense of like it was just like linoleum floors, cafeteria style tables, like in the main area. But then there was just this like cool tiny bar. But the bar is actually the original bar from, we found out, like the 20s and 30s when, I hope I'm right on the 20s and 30s part, but whatever. It used to be a hangout for like Al Capone and stuff. Like he had a big like stranglehold in the Trinidad, Colorado area, the Aguilar where this is. So it's old school and super cool. So, and I love this kind of thing. So we're sitting at the bar. There's three other people at the bar. And then there's just the bartender, this nice lady. Just very chill, kind of felt like you just walked into someone's home that also was a cafeteria. And we go up to the bar, we sit down, and the first interesting thing that happened is I'm explaining to Greg's friend Dan what the TV show Yellowstone is, because I'm pretty into it now. And I'm like, oh no, it's really good. It's like kind of like a modern day Cowboys and Indians, and I'm trying my best to explain it, and all of a sudden this like awesome like 50 something year old like woman bartender slaps a magazine down onto the counter of the bar, just literally like, oh, you were talking about Yellowstone, I got a little info for you. The magazine is called Cowboys and Indians, which she clearly subscribed to the periodical, and slaps it onto the bar, and the cover is three of the guy characters from Yellowstone. And I was like, this is awesome and so timely, and the fact that she subscribes to Cowboys and Indians magazine makes me just love life. So I felt more alive than I've ever felt. So she does that, and then I'm like, oh, this is perfect, this is awesome. So I'm casually scrolling through the magazine trying to continue to explain it to Dan, and then we start talking to the gentleman next to Dan. Super nice guy. Everyone was super nice. When Yosemite Sam comes into play, it's just because I have a lot of paranoia and I listen to a lot of true crime. It's not these innocent folks' fault. So we start talking to the guy next to Dan, and he is somewhat part owner of this bar, and it's a whole long story where everyone is just related in these towns. And talking to him, I am doing my best not to be Rachel O'Brien, which just blurt out annoying stuff. And so he's saying that he had all these different careers. Like, I guess he found gold in the Bering Sea. I can't fact check that, but we'll see. And then he was a truck driver, and he was explaining like the whole life of a truck driver. But he seemed like he was such a nice guy. But in my brain, I was like, oh, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, a lot of truck drivers. That's sometimes they're scary. And so I dipped my toe in the water a little bit. And I was like, so are they normal? Also, have you seen To Catch a Predator? Because sometimes they're on that. I held back a little bit. I held back. The thoughts in my head were like, I just want to ask so many questions on like what the lifestyle is like. But I held back. So that happens. Talking to him, he's super nice. Then we start going down the row of other people. So then the guy next to him, also super nice, gigantic cowboy hat, rosy face, reminds me of someone I grew up with. And then there was a girl next to him, also reminded me of someone I grew up with. Like, when where I grew up, we wore a lot of just sweatshirts all the time. And, like, it was just always, like, that was our style, which I've incorporated into my style now. Which I will dress up and then just put a hooded sweatshirt over things. So we started talking to them. And it's awesome. They're nice. They're cool. Whatever. And then Greg and Dan start telling them, like, oh, okay, so, yeah, we have, like, a hemp seed farm. And that's what we're doing on the ranch. And, you know, granted, it's just hemp seed. It's not, it has no THC in it. But in my brain, I'm thinking, like, why are you telling them where we live? Why are you, I mean, I don't live there, but you know what I mean? Like, silent screaming. Why are you telling them? Okay, cool. And then they're saying, like, okay, this is what we do. And then this is where the property is. They're like, you know, like, mile marker, whatever it is. It's exactly, that's where the ranch is. So tell them that. Easy breezy. They're like, oh, well, we got to come see it sometime. Also, maybe we'll come by tonight. We have this cool car. So, by the way, this part, I don't know. It's explained to me later that they had, I knew that they told them where it was. I did not know that the folks responded with, oh, we'll come by and we have this, like, whatever. I don't know what those cars are. The ones that they look like kit cars, or they have steel beams instead of the hood of a car. It doesn't matter. So I don't hear this part, and I'm not there for them explaining, like, you know, or them accepting, like, oh yeah, come over, whatever. So we leave, check out, go back to the house, and back in the house, about ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden I see, like, two incredibly large beams of light, not normal headlights, just like a spotlight coming in hot. And I'm already afraid at this property because it is in the middle of nowhere. There are hundreds of acres. It is silent and scary and so murdery feeling. And all of a sudden these headlights come rolling up, and Greg and Dan knew that, you know, these people were coming. No one informed me. No one put me on that email list. And so they go out, and I'm thinking, holy shit, like, no one's holding down the fort. No one's protecting us. Like, what do I got to handle something. So I put on this Greg's, like, rancher jacket. It's like this, like, really heavy suede jacket, and there's inside pockets in it. And I'm like, I got to protect us. I got to protect our land. I got to protect the family. I got to protect everything around. I've listened to a lot of true crime. I'm in it. And so I decide to grab a pistol that was on, and you need protection there. Listen, I understand if you are very pro gun control. I am incredibly pro gun control, incredibly. But, you know, certain people need, and it's not, you can't do much with that. But so they have one there for protection. And so I'm like, I got this, guys, in my head. Grab the pistol. I put it on in the inside pocket of the jacket. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go chat. I'll be easy breezy about it. I walk out there. Everyone's chatting. Two kids have arrived, by the way. So it's the couple at the end. And let's say, like, 11 and 13-year-old kids. And I come in hot, but I'm being cool. I'm like, all right, well, let's just pretend to chat, like, you know. And the woman had to pee, so I was showing her where that was. We're all chatting, and I walk with her. I'm directing her to where that is. And all of a sudden, the pistol falls out of the inside pocket of the jacket on the ground. And now I'm the creep. Now I'm the serial killer of a person. I look insane that I just dropped a pit. Like, I don't even know how to hold a pit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I drop a gun out of the inside of the jacket, hits the ground, doesn't go off, don't worry. No one, they must have shot in their head. I mean, Greg noticed because he's been making fun of me ever since. No one even mentions it. And so then I just, like, casually pick it up and I just put it back in the jacket, and I'm like, ha, ha. We're here now. What's good? No one saw that. and take her to the bathroom, come back. No one mentions it to me. They then take Greg and Dan on a scary off-roading adventure. And I then start talking to the children that are there. It was his birthday at midnight. I start imparting wisdom on him. I don't know if the proper word is empathetic, but I think it is, where I want to make sure everyone's like happy and okay. And like, I'm like, well, it's his kid's birthday at midnight. Like, shit, he shouldn't be here with his parents. And so I'm all kind of bummed about that. And I'm patting his head. And I'm like, you're a good kid. You know, you're going to do great things with your life. And so I'm Yosemite Sam, just not a great one. Put a pistol in the inside of a jacket, and that's the story. I'm not proud of it. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that I like was like trying to hold down the fort. What I'm not proud of is that I was that clumsy. The pistol did not fit in the inside of the jacket. I wasn't weighing the option of the fact that, you know, people normally put guns like in like tight jeans, like tuck them in, whatever. You don't like do it in a flimsy pocket where it can fall out of. It's heavier than the silk lining of the jacket. All right. So that's me. That's where I'm at with life. And I hope you guys are in a more stable spot. All right. Okay. Tour dates. I got to keep saying them. And eventually when the show happens, I won't say them anymore. So we have Philadelphia, yeah, November 7th. You can get tickets at rachelobriancomedy.com. Then Wilmington, Delaware, November 8th. Same thing, tickets at rachelobriancomedy.com. It's at the Queen Wilmington, Delaware, Punchline Philly in Philly. And then February 19th, Detroit with Kristen Doty. We're going to be at the Comedy Castle. Again, all tickets can be at those websites or at rachelobriancomedy.com. Probably easiest just to go to mine. And then March 28th, Governor's Club in Long Island. A bunch of other stuff in between, but I'm also, I'm going to bring Kristen for a few other ones too. So far, Philly and Delaware are just me. I hope that you're excited about that. And then Kristen Doty will be with me in Detroit. And then I'm going to tack her on, I think, to Long Island. So basically the format is I will do, you know, stand up top. And then I'll bring her up on stage. We're going to do a live podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed last week with her. She was really awesome and raw and honest on last week's podcast. And some surprises will happen. So I'm going to tack her on to, I think, Long Island, and then we're going to do Boston. I've done Boston a bunch of times, but we're going to do it again together, which will be really fun. And, so stay tuned for more dates. Follow me on the socials, Rachel N. O'Brien, reads like Rachel No'Brien. And now, for my guest. He is a regular on the podcast. His name is Zach Wickham. You guys know him. You love him. He's appeared on Vanderpump Rules. He's, you know, friends with everyone, if that's what you're into, Vanderpump Rules stuff. He's one of my best friends. He's sweet. He's adorable. He's hilarious. He's one of the taller people I know, one of the more handsome people I know. I love him. And this is the episode where I posted on Instagram Q&A, like, what did you ask me anything? And you guys asked some really interesting questions. We had a lot of fun answering them. So without further ado, give it up for Zach Wickham. Zachary Wickham, also known as Zachary Binks. Isn't that your name from Hocus Pocus?
That is my name from Hocus
Pocus.
You're
going to need to turn your mic on, you know, before we start.
Well, stop turning mics off.
What do you mean? I have to? Well,
no,
I guess
I don't
have
to.
Unplug
you just
it.
Unplug it.
Okay. This is off to
wow,
a great
this is aggressive.
Start. Jesus Christ.
It's 'cause we've How do you really feel?
It's because we've spent every day together for
every
like the past
day.
Week.
Well, that's what happens when Greg goes out of town.
True.
You rely on
you would probably
your second
be,
husband.
You'd probably be here even if he wasn't out of town. Like, we hung out with you the last day he was in town, we went to a movie with you.
Well, that's true.
Because we're a throuple.
Exactly. You are my brother. Well, he is my brother husband and you're my sister wife.
I mean, my mom says I do wear my hair like a Mormon woman sometimes.
With the
puff in the front.
I've also seen you wear some pleated skirts, so.
I've never worn a pleated skirt. I do wear a lot of florals, though.
You do wear a
lot
of florals.
Prairie Home Companion florals.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. A
lot of, what was that show where they lived on the front, the old one, like Laura, wait.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Ingalls Wild or whatever. Yeah, lots of lots of Little House on the Prairie.
Lots of them.
Yeah. I was actually listening. Someone was talking about that show on another podcast where sometimes the storylines from back in the day of shows, like, you could not get away with them now.
You can't get away with half of the stuff from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
There was one where, like, a young person was marrying, like a man way too old. There was another one where one of the girls pretended to be paralyzed.
Yeah, there's a lot of storylines and, like, things you could get away with or say that just are not appropriate anymore.
But then again, I think things also just keep getting a little darker because we've been obsessively watching Mindhunter. Granted, those are based on real things, but my God, is that dark.
It's dark because it's real.
It's so scary. You know, actually, I wouldn't say that the show is actually, like, scary, scary.
Oh, not at all, yeah.
But I feel like it's just, like, it's so accurate and it's so, like, straightforward. Well, every time they flash the BTK, I get real freaked out.
Well, it's very telling of what we don't think about on a daily basis.
I think about it every day.
Well, you do. You're just one of those people. And, you know, I'm sure anybody that listens to My Favorite Murder or any of those podcasts, yeah, you people probably think about it every day, carry your mace like
also,
Rachel does.
Also, girls think about it way more than guys. You're
which
a
is so true. We've talked about this.
Male.
We've
I'm a girl who's going for runs and there's people circling the block and I have to, like,
yeah,
make a weird face at them like I'm a gremlin. Do you know that's my new tactic?
I know. You've told me that you
I just try your face. I just try to look as crazy as possible and make weird, like,
noises.
Well, then
just smile at them currently.
That's so cruel.
It's so true.
Yeah, I've already explained bad Botox on my podcast. I think
it's good. Then they know.
You know what was hilarious? Like, a few days ago, I was like, Zach, I think it's getting better. And I smiled at you and went, is it?
I did. That was my response.
So mean.
Well, I just want to be a good friend.
Well, there's nothing I could do about it. It's just time.
And I didn't say
although it's well over the 6 weeks that were promised.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back to that narrative.
Anywho. Okay, so we're doing an Ask Me Anything podcast. We posted it on Insta Story yesterday, and we got a bunch of questions from you guys. So
it's super scary to have, like, Ask Me Anything. That could go south real fast.
No one asked anything weird.
Okay, good.
I mean, I think someone was hitting on you.
Oh, well.
Fine. Someone wants to know about your love life, and it's someone you seem to know, so.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Okay. Oh, the first one. Okay, so I thought this was, well, okay. So I went to bed at 10 p.m. last night. As it turns out, that was a little too early, because then I woke up.
She kicked me out at, like, 9:30.
I was like, I'm falling asleep. I'm so tired.
See, I see your tactics now. Kick me out so you can stay up.
No, I did go to sleep, but then I got a full, like, 4 hours and woke up at 2 a.m. and was like, oh, shit, I'm awake for, like, at least an hour and a half. So one of the first questions that came in, and I'm not sure if they were asking for this podcast or if it was just in general because they have a podcast that's kind of about personality types, but whatever. I had nothing to do at 2 a.m., so I took the personality test. Hiring can be a challenge. As Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered, Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team, so that's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter, and she said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself, guys. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at my exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/beHere. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beHere. ZipRecruiter.com/beHere, ZipRecruiter.com/beHere, BEHERE. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The people from That's Deep Co. podcast, so they were the ones that suggested the personality test. And I was like, what else am I going to do at 2 a.m. besides make myself a full meal and eat it in bed and take this test? But it's
very accurate.
Yep, that's 100% what happened. It's the Myers-Briggs personality type. So I took it. I was oddly thrilled to find out I have the rarest one. Under 1% of people have it, unless they say it on all of them.
Well, I think there's like, isn't there two different types or under 5% of the population? And then there's like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, no. Well, mine was under 1%, I think.
Well, you are very unique.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult.
I don't think mine said anything about...
Okay, so which one were you?
I am the campaigner, ENFP.
So what does that mean?
Campaigners are fiercely independent and much more than stability and security. They crave creativity and freedom, which is so true.
Creativity and freedom.
I'm the least stable person I know.
Wait, it didn't say you were unstable.
It said we are much more than stability and security. We crave creativity and freedom. So
oh, I see.
We don't care about being stable, which
got it.
I feel like I live my life on very earthquakey ground.
I like it though. So it makes you unique.
Very much so.
Does it say what career you should go for?
I didn't read that far into it. Apparently, other campaigners include Robert Downey Jr.,
Robin Williams, the most stable. Oh,
Quentin
wow.
Tarantino.
Literally, some three most unstable people.
Russell Brand. There we go. Wow.
Prone to drug addiction, almost all of them.
Will Smith. Okay, I'm liking it.
Scientology's your jam. Fear him.
And I think that's... Oh, yeah. None of these other... PETA Malark from The Hunger Games. I don't think you can...
Oh, yeah. Mine says that, too. It's like characters from shows.
Yeah,
I'm
no. It says I'm Carrie Bradshaw and Willy Wonka.
Okay.
I don't... Okay,
it's not
sure.
Bad company.
Yeah.
Not bad company. Okay. Did you go to the what career you should have?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
You have to keep scrolling forward. I mean, I couldn't sleep, so I was in a deep dive.
Well, so basically it says, can't I fly helicopters and be an oceanographer who writes songs and cooks? It's a big word out there and perhaps even a little too big. So basically...
That's hilarious.
Well, it basically means you can't... Your
brain
you're
wants
ADD.
To do so many things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have
and
so
you,
many...
And you are ADD.
Hello. This is actually very correct.
Right? Isn't it fascinating when they actually like... This is similar to the... Well, it's not as detailed as the Enneagram. That one is like hundreds of questions. But that one, they're really accurate.
Yeah, there's also this one called Strength Finder.
Mm-hmm.
And it has...
Ooh, I want to take that
oh
one.
Oh my God, it's one of my favorite ones. And it gives you 5 traits that are your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And what the test is, it's called Strength Finder 2.0. You go through, I don't know, it's a bajillion questions. It's actually a small little book. You go through all this stuff and take the test online. And it gives you your top 5 skills
mm-hmm.
out of, like, I think there's like 300 or 400 mm-hmm. words that you could be. And the order matters too. And like mine are woo, communication, positivity, ideation, and strategic.
Mm.
So that means like woo means like I'm just great with people. Mm-hmm. I can talk. The talk, same with communication. I like to communicate.
Woo is such a funny word to use for that. It just
that's my number
sounding.
One
yeah.
word.
Yeah.
And then like positivity, I'm always positive about stuff. Strategic, mm-hmm. I can think strategically about implementing things. And mm-hmm. ideation means I am a big idea person.
Yeah. What's that one called again?
That's Strength Finder.
Okay, I'm going to do that later tonight.
Yeah.
These are so fun, I think.
I think that's a paid one though.
Oh.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's only paid, but it might only be like $10. But it's really cool.
I mean, sounds worth it to me. And then what was your answers on like what your love stuff is?
You know, that's where it's so accurate because, you know, as I've told people on other podcasts or I know I've told you in person, my last boyfriend broke up with me. And I mean, granted, this was not the only reason. We live far away, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But he was like, one of the reasons was he said, I will never love you as much as you love me. And I'm like, I know.
Should have kept that one to yourself, buddy.
No, I don't care because.
No, not you. I'm saying him. That was.
Oh, him. Oh, I don't care.
That's such a narcissistic thing to say.
Oh, it's so.
Also,
is.
How does he know how much you like? It's like you're just declaring.
Well,
that,
he
like,
knows because I show it and I'm.
But he doesn't. That
a
just,
good boyfriend.
That just might be that you're more demonstrative or something. Like, it's just so narcissistic to be like, it's just I'm better than you, basically.
I didn't take it as that because he definitely wasn't, but...
But he thinks he might
He might think that.
Yeah.
But it's for romantic relationships with me, it says when it comes to relationships, there's hardly anyone around who is more excited than campaigners to share with their partners the bounty of ideas and eye-opening experience that life has to offer.
Aww.
Basically, it means we're clingy as fuck and want
to... No, that does not mean that. That was just like saying you're excited about life. That could just mean you want to go hiking with the person.
Which is the opposite of what I would ever do.
No.
I hate hiking. If you have a
God, I almost asked you to go hiking with me this weekend. Thank God I didn't.
I would have just thrown away my phone.
You go for walks.
Like, I'll go, yeah, for like around the block.
You're not real interested in like an incline?
Yeah, or just like, that's too much nature when you're on a hike. I don't know. I just hate hiking.
Who doesn't like nature?
I mean, I like it. Yeah, it's there. Great. Awesome. I don't want to be in it.
I just want to like look at it in a photo.
Right.
National Geographic, I'm done. That's perfect.
Or like, if I'm at a lake, okay, fine.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, because then I can be on a boat or something fun where
will
I can be drunk.
Will you get in the lake water?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I grew up in Kentucky.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen you at a lake before, so I don't know.
I am always at the lake house when I'm home.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm always at lakes. I'm like,
you're a liar.
No, you're not.
So are campaigners liars,
yeah,
too?
I'm like, no, you're not. Okay, so mine was The Advocate.
I can see that for you.
And then it's advocate personality type is very rare, making up less than 1% of the population, but nonetheless, they leave their mark on the world. Advocates have an inborn sense of idealism and morality, but what sets them apart is that they are not idle dreamers. These individuals are capable of taking concrete steps to realize their goals and making a lasting positive impact. Da, da, da. Okay.
That's very true, though. You do, like, if you have an idea or you, like, I have ideas all the time. And I might maybe write like a sentence or write like half a stand-up thing or do this or do that. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, next idea, next thing. And I never like do concrete. But you always, you wanted to do a screenplay? Okay, done. You wanted to do a podcast? Okay, you got it. You always do that. So that's actually really accurate.
Yeah, I wonder if it says I'm a planner because I'm not really much of a planner. I'm just like, yeah, I'll do it and I'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah, but you are a planner in the fact that like once you have an idea or something in your head, you do plan.
Like, yeah, or I just do it. I think that's more of it. It's like meaning like there's a lot of people that will like take months to be like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. And then they don't actually do it.
Right. That's me. That's what I'm saying. Like,
okay, yeah.
So that's the difference is you do it and you plan to do it. Like you basically say, okay, I want to do a podcast. You don't submit the podcast that night, but you take the steps to do it.
Oh, it's probably something I would do.
Okay, I get it. But I'm saying that's still a plan do it, and you follow through with it.
So do you. You just started your podcast, but that's a question later that someone had. But yeah, so mine was like creative, insightful, inspiring, and convincing. Decisive, determined. I don't.
You inspire me every
Weaknesses,
day.
Sensitive. I guess I am.
You were very sensitive.
Extremely private. I don't think I'm extremely private.
I think you are.
Really?
Yep. Because I'm like the most open book. Like, think about how many, like, I'll, you know, go to the bathroom or fart or tell you I'm going to do something and you're like, okay, there's just too much.
I don't know. I don't think I'm that private. I think I've gotten more private because I was, I think, too open before. Were and like overly self-deprecating, and I think that was used against me, and so I think I'm more private now.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, perfectionism, that's for sure. I have a major problem with that, and that is not a good quality.
No.
Always always need to have a cause.
Wait, what about, okay, let's go.
These are negatives. Do I always need to have a cause?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't
so.
Think that's very accurate, but I want to know what your, like, what your career path is.
Okay, so we'll past romantic relationships.
We'll go back to that.
That one's just, I don't know, like they're looking for something major, emotional, spiritual, whatever. Okay, so then I go to career. Oh, and my people are, they were like Lady Gaga, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, fuck you. Those are way better than mine.
No, there's a lot of fictional ones like Jon Snow and...
Oh!
Is that
okay,
a good one?
So you get, oh my God, you, and of course you don't fucking know. Yeah, that's one of the best ones to have.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever. Career paths. Need to find meaning in their work, and they need to know they're helping, connecting with people. An advocate working as a Ferrari salesman, for example, is highly unlikely. So they were saying, careers in like healthcare or like a counselor, psychologist, spiritual guide. But then they
well,
also
you're just too pretty to be any of those.
No, but then it said advocate personalities crave creativity, and they're usually they're screenplay writers. Right?
Oh
like
no way!
Type of writer.
There
yeah.
you go. That's your thing.
Yeah, they often pursue expressive careers such as writing, effective communicators. Well, that would be talking publicly, even if it's just stand up. Yeah, stories, screenplays, music, photography.
It is crazy how these, how a set of questions can really reveal your mm-hmm. habits and who you are and what type of personality you have. It's crazy.
The way they do that, because I've always thought those questions were kind of confusing. They ask the same thing over and over again
but in
slightly
different
ways.
But
I guess that's
so
how they
cool.
pinpoint
yeah.
it. Yeah.
It's so cool how they do that.
Yeah. So, all right. So now to the other questions. So guys, take those tests. They're kind of fun. I don't know. It's kind of cool to know
what,
like,
yeah.
why you are
kinda
the way you are.
Analyze yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Or narcissistic. I don't know. So indulgent. Like, I'm just going to spend some time exploring me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Mm. All right. So, and by the way, you were the first one to mention his name, Greg, the new boyfriend. I've never said his name, I don't think.
On the you've never said it?
I don't think so. But I was going to anyways because that was someone's question. But
well, Greg.
Yeah. But he wrote in a question for us. He said, if you died today and became a ghost and could only haunt one person, place, or thing, who, what, where, whatever would it be and why?
So am I going first or you?
What? Excuse me. I kind of thought of mine.
Okay, then you go first.
I think I would haunt you in the way that you, because you haunt me with your like, creepy pedophile breathing into the phone when I call
my
yeah mm-hmm. yeah haunt me with it, leave me voicemails, scare me. I think I would come back from the dead and just creep you out constantly.
I mean, touche, fair, that's fair game. I mean, you're just getting me back.
Yeah,
that's
what I think I would do. Or I would haunt a, can ghosts eat food? I would haunt some like a good restaurant or something if it was a place. Right?
But can ghosts eat food? I don't think they can enjoy food, though.
I don't know. I don't know that this is a question anyone can answer.
You
can
look at it.
Then that would be torture. So no.
Yeah, so that would...
So no.
Oh,
so I think
like
I'll just haunt you. That's the goal.
Oh, awesome.
I haunt
Great.
You. What's
Thanks.
Yours?
I would haunt a movie theater because I like to watch movies.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
So you could be entertained in that.
And then I could seriously scare people... In the scary movies.
Can you imagine if you were sitting in a movie and you just felt like a gust of wind on your neck or someone like touching your hair?
Or somebody going...
No, well, that's what's going to happen to you for your, the rest of your life. 100% what I'm doing. You deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it every
you're
time I
even,
do it.
You're not even giving a very good example of it. There's so much more detail than that when you say... You will go off on full sentences that are creepy.
I will, but I will not do it on this podcast.
Okay, fine. I'll do it for you. One time around Thanksgiving... You left me a voice note that was like, I want to baste your Thanksgiving turkey.
I don't even remember that, but that's hilarious.
they're usually pretty creative.
I'm a pretty creative person.
You are. Okay, so next question. This is from Annalisa. If you could pluck one negative experience from moving from Astoria to LA for me, for you from Kentucky to LA, from your memory, what would it be? This one I was having a hard time with.
A negative memory.
I don't know if it's like if from it's, childhood or from being here. I wasn't quite sure. If you could pluck one negative experience from moving from your hometown to LA from your memory, what would it be?
Well, I mean, for me, the negative is I'm not near some of my, you know, dearest friends and, mm-hmm. and my mom and dad. Like moving across the country is not like moving a city over yeah. or whatever, or going away for college and then coming back.
As you may remember, a few weeks ago, I discovered Everly Well, the amazing at-home wellness test that helps you better understand your health. I received my Everly Well at-home lab test, and I tested myself for food sensitivity. A few days ago, I received the results, and as it turns out, I can't eat dairy anymore. It's fine. I feel better. My skin's clear. Listen, I'm grateful for it. It hasn't been easy to cut out dairy, but thank God Everly Well told me that I needed to. Everly Well has really given me a positive new outlook on my health. Finally, I have some information I can use. Everly Well offers more than 30 different at-home lab tests, from fertility to food sensitivity to thyroid and heart health. Each Everly Well test comes with super easy-to-follow instructions. Every test is physician-reviewed, and the shipping is free. Your results come from certified labs, and they are sent directly to your mobile device so you can easily view and share them with your healthcare provider. Your results are personalized and easy to understand, so you know exactly what they mean for you. I feel so much better knowing that, you know, there's certain things I should not be indulging in. No more cheese plates constantly. So to start better understanding your health like I did, check out Everly Well today. And I have an offer for you guys. For 15% off an Everly Well at-home lab test, visit everlywell.com/behere and enter code BEHERE. That's everlywell.com/behere. And the code is BEHERE for 15% off your test. Everly Well at-home lab test, your answers your way. Okay, so your experience would be that you had to leave your family.
Yeah, or maybe just the fact that everything cost an arm and a leg here, and I could have a house, and not that I want a house and a husband right now. You know what I mean? Like,
who
that's not
want
even
a house. I want a house so bad.
Well, I don't like
prove that I didn't say husband. I was like, screw that house. Yes, material goods, Rachel. You asshole.
Well, see, that plays into my personality type. I don't care about stability. I don't care about that type of stuff. I want to live my life, and the way I can do that is by sacrificing having a house or having that stability back home.
Could you like experiences more?
I like experiences more and people and, you know, all of that type of stuff. So
I think that I don't really feel like I'm like a, cause I don't really know astrology that well. I never really feel like I'm a Cancer in the sense of
I'm 100%
like,
my Libra sign.
Really? I don't ever feel it cause I don't think I'm really moody, but the one thing I do feel like I am is a homebody, like a home, a nice home. And like keeping it nice is like very important to
me. That is definitely part.
I can't think of a negative experience from moving. I mean, I like most of the bad shit that's happened. I mean, I like all of it, I think. Like, it's looking, but like breakups are, they're fine. Like, you know, times I was super sad or traumatic things or whatever. Like,
yeah, it hurts in the moment, but
doesn't hurt later. Yeah.
But it actually helps you propel to that next thing or that next whatever.
I talked about it on my intro from last week's podcast with Kristen when I went to the healer lady that she got me a session for. The lady, I already feel better. She literally was having me write down like a good thing that came from a bad experience. But she's like, you need to get to this many. You need to, and I already wrote like 20 of them. And I was like, I already feel better. Like, it's most of the stuff like, those big things that happen are what shake your life up and make.
And you really don't realize it until you consciously think about it and consciously go through, hey, how did that, what did that really affect, or how, what came after that?
Yeah.
Like, and then when you think about it and sit down and write it, it's totally different than just like, oh, well, that was bad. And then you don't really think about it.
Like, honestly, from the experience I'm talking about, there wouldn't be Greg without that.
Right.
There wouldn't be you and I being extra close because we, you know what I mean? Like, there wouldn't be like a new podcast network that I like, but there wouldn't be some major things that are kind of unbelievably good. It's like so weird that you just think of like, oh, it didn't feel good when it happened. It's like, okay, well, it feels great now. So
it's worth it.
So yeah, stop dwelling. Anyways. Okay. So then also from Annalisa, how about what was your biggest culture shock from small town living to a big city? Parking tickets.
Going from $15 parking tickets to $65, $70 parking tickets that go up to $2 something per ticket if you don't pay them within like 15 days.
I remember actually when I went to college in Eugene and it would be raining constantly or cold or whatever. And I remember if it was a particularly rainy, gross day where I didn't want to have to walk far, I would pick basically purposely park in a place where I know I'd get a ticket because I was like, it's $15. I'll skip a meal or something.
I did that all the time when I went to college at the University of Louisville. There is no parking and it's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
$15. Okay, whatever.
Yes, it adds up. But like $60 to $80 parking ticket, that's more than I would spend that like on a meal ever. Like that's like a really like special
special occasion meal.
That's more than I'd spend on a night out. Yeah. That's so ridiculous. So I think parking tickets was like the big, and then rent being incredibly high.
Yeah.
I feel like people can be shitty everywhere. Although LA does attract like a certain level of narcissist
it's way different.
But I feel like it could be anywhere. Yeah.
But I do feel like it's on another level here because any other city I've ever been in is so easy to date. And like, I'm probably like,
I feel
not that I'm not saying I'm at like an 8 or a 9 or anything like that.
You are. You're a 10, 11, 12.
I hate you so much.
27.
I'm not saying like I'm like the best, like I don't have abs. I don't. And that's kind of important usually in the gay community or whatever. But like listen, I'm pretty. I'm not downing my looks. But what I'm saying is, in LA, mm-hmm. It's like everybody, even if you're a 10, mm-hmm. you're a 2. Like,
yeah,
that's how everybody treats everybody. And it's really, not the people we hang around or whatever, but like a lot of people do. And it's really sad.
This might be unpopular opinion because there might be a lot of girls dating in LA that are like, it's so hard to be a girl and date here. I honestly think the gay community in Los Angeles has to be the hardest.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
It is so incredibly superficial and like, everyone's like, it's abs and tan and it's, I can't even imagine. Yeah. I honestly think it's got to be harder to be a gay man in Los Angeles than it does to be.
For sure.
Yeah. Even though there's a lot of you here, it's just, it's so competitive, I think. And yeah. So superficial.
Yeah. That's the problem, is it's very superficial and mm-hmm. no one gets past the superficiality, I feel like.
It just gets old after a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so, we still love it.
Yes.
We wouldn't live anywhere else.
I know. I do love it here. Okay. So Haley, she's asking about brother husband. She wants to know what his name is. You've already said it. How we met, where he's from. Tell me everything, she says. Okay. I know I've had since the beginning of this podcast, how many boyfriends, how many people have I dated? It feels embarrassing to be like, there's someone new. When is there
every
not?
Every episode.
When is there not, Rachel? It's shameful, but
no, you're just trying to find,
put myself out there.
Yeah,
I'm a great dater.
Bad.
Great dater.
Yeah,
I don't let it bother me. I like, I have fun, I meet interesting people. If it doesn't go anywhere, whatever, on to the next.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's never given me a lot of grief. And that's not because I like have so much luck. It's like I just have a perspective of like, okay, cool, not everyone's gonna like me, not everyone's gonna be for me. I'm not gonna like everyone, you know. Whatever. Okay, so his name is Greg. He's definitely going to hear this because he edits my podcast. He has since the beginning. He does.
That's how you met.
Yeah. Well, that is how we met, yes. So he does the sound and editing on my podcast. And I remember when I first met him, I was dating someone at the time. But I remember thinking, this guy could be a male model. Like, he's got, like, such a pretty face. Just
he
like
literally has the most symmetrical face. The greatest hair.
He just is a pretty. He's
oh,
got.
God,
like,
he's got the greatest hair. I would scalp him.
You guys have similar hair.
No, his. Well, he has
like
a smaller head.
You don't realize
head.
How thick your hair is and how lucky you are. And I feel like if it ever did thin out a little bit, you'd be like, I should have never complained, because your hair is gorgeous.
Okay. So whatever. Greg has better hair than me. Whatever. It's just like the perfect hair. But my, like, if I scalped him and tried to put it on my head's too big. Like, it wouldn't fit. I'd only be half my head. So
it'd be fluffy.
Yeah, it would be weird. It wouldn't work.
But I remember thinking he was really cute. But he's like 2 years younger than me. And 3? I forget. He's a little bit younger, but also I just didn't listen. Our relationship was built on me just talking at him. And my podcast meeting, like, I didn't know that much about him, but we were friendly. Like, you know, he did my podcast once, and then I knew he was a director and stuff, and he shot a lot of my headshots also, and like, I wanted to maybe work with him on a project at some point. And then summer 2018 incident happened where long story, guys, one day I'll explain it, all right? But guess what, I know.
Not
that it,
today.
I know, but guess what? Maybe it's offensive to anyone who thinks that I'm undermining that I was depressed. I really wasn't. I was, maybe my grandma died. I was going through some shit, but wasn't that depressed. Just had the wrong people in my life. And anyways, so had that not happened, that was what prompted. So I asked him. So I left that experience and I started writing a screenplay about it, because I was like, this is fascinating to be such a fish out of water in a situation where I didn't necessarily need to be there, but I A, got a lot out of it, and B, just I think it was just such a unique experience. So I started writing the screenplay by myself, but about 20 pages in, I was like, this is maybe too personal for me to write by myself. So I still don't to this day know what prompted me to ask him specifically.
Maybe because he has read a lot of them.
No, he's written some stuff too, but yeah. I don't know. I know a lot of writers. I went to grad school for screenwriting. Like, I know people I went to school with. But I don't know. Maybe it was just like the gods or something, like just pushing me in that direction. But I just randomly texted him one day and I was like, you want to write a screenplay with me? And so we started spending a lot of time together writing that. And he was an incredibly good listener and he was so on my side and would hear, like, you know, the painful parts of it. And we worked through, we wrote the script. And yeah, I guess he had liked me for, I didn't know he had a crush on me for years.
Since day one.
Well, I didn't know. He never told me. I never was aware of it. And then he owns some ranch land in Colorado. He lives here in Colorado, which is about 6 hours from Wichita, Kansas, where I was doing stand-up. And I was staying with one of my friends who is a character in the script we'd wrote. And so I thought he was just coming because he was like, it'll be great for me to meet some of these people in real life, because another friend had flown in that was also a character. And I was like, cool. And he's like, yeah, I'm just bored here on the ranch. Like, I want to come. So him and a friend drove 6 hours. And my friend Rachel, who I was staying with, we all went out after the show. And she looked at me and she was like, why don't you like Greg? I was like, well, I don't know. She's like, he's so cute. He's going to be really successful. He was like meeting with these like big ranchers for the hemp seed business. Who knows? And she was like, I don't get it. And she's like, he clearly likes you. I was like, none of this had ever crossed my mind ever. And and then he just got the balls and we were dancing to a yacht rock band and it started raining and he kissed me. And then, I don't know.
And everything else has just fallen into place.
Yeah, that's the story. So
and now I have a brother husband and I love a husband.
It makes me really happy when people I date get along really well with.
Like really well.
Yeah. And like you've where even we all said can
almost
hang out.
Too well.
Yeah, it's...
You don't like when...
Maybe I'd like some alone time. I'm joking.
Well, Greg and I are both 6 foot... Well, he's 6 foot three, 6 foot four.
He's almost 6'5". He's like
6'4". Oh, he's 6'4", right? Yeah, I'm 6'4". We're both 6'4", whatever. Yeah. Because we found out we had the same shoe size. Whatever. Yeah. But we're both very loud.
And oh my God, they're the two loudest people.
So if we're both together, it's just like your worst nightmare. But it's also like the... funniest thing ever.
It's really cute because I think you guys are both loud because you get really excited or you have some eardrum damage. I don't know. He played in bands for years, so I think that he might have it. But like, my mom says I have a loud voice too. Who knows? But yeah, he gets along really well with you. And then Sabrina too. Like, I'm going to Colorado tomorrow and we're going to stay on his ranch. And it's like basically like camping because the house isn't fully done or whatever. And Sabrina's flying in to like come hang with us for 2 days and like, live off the land and stuff. So
live. That sounds like my worst nightmare.
It's not really. No, he's building a home.
No, I know,
there.
But the home is not there. There's no running water. I'm not there for it. Nope.
I don't know. It's pretty. I like the experience.
Okay. Well, Sabrina can fly in.
Well, Sabrina's from a super small town like I did. That's the kind of shit we did when we were younger.
I did too. I just grew out of it.
Louisville is so much of a bigger city. My town had 3,000 people in it, the town I went to high school in.
Yeah, but I used to go camping in McCurry County, Kentucky, which is like small and...
Let's go camping before it gets cold out.
Did you not just hear me? I grew out of this.
Let's grow back into it.
I'll glamp if you can find a glamping ground.
Whatever. Come on, let's go camping. It'll be
we'll
fun.
We'll figure this out later. Okay, next question.
Okay, whatever.
Fun for you to make fun of me.
What are the details of Zach's love life? That was another question.
My love life is fun. It's, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of secretive about your love life. Mr.
No, it's not that
Mr.
I'm secret.
I'm open about everything. I feel
no,
like.
No, I'm not secretive. I tell you.
Not secretive. I just feel like there's a lot that I don't know about.
Well, I think with me. I don't, until it's somebody that I think it's going to go somewhere, I don't mention it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to get my, like, bring someone around my friends.
Yeah.
And it's also slightly harder with our group of friends. Like, you can't just bring around somebody every 5 seconds that's, mm-hmm. you know, new or whatever. And so I think with that, I just wait till I meet somebody that's worth introducing to the people that I care most about, which are my friends. And on top of that, I wasn't even really open in my own mind, because my last relationship really was a relationship that I thought was going to be, like, I thought he could easily be my husband and we could work through the small things that we had. No, he married the next person after me, but, but whatever. I just wasn't ready to actually like put myself out there and date and put the time into it. Cause dating actually does, you know, you have to be, it takes time. You have to, you know, not cancel on them all the time to, you
takes
know.
Away from like, if you're trying to build a career and stuff too. I found that where I was like, I got really burnt out on dating after a while, because I was like, I didn't want to go out that night. Really, I did want to go on a date, but it was like, if the date didn't go like really well or felt like a waste of time, I was like, great, I had two drinks I didn't want, I was out until 10 something p.m. when I could have been like working or whatever, which I know makes me seem super unbalanced and all I care about is working, but like sometimes it is just like,
well, yeah, but it's also during the week, that's what, you know, you want to really focus on.
I know, I guess not necessarily at night, but at the same time, it's like, it's a lot to go on like three dates a week or something.
I mean, you got to get dressed up. You got to like do, you know, and, well, even for me, it's
that,
like
that costs money.
The
too.
Money part, because at least you, and this is semi-sexist, but like as a girl, you can probably like semi-assume that hopefully they'll pay for you.
Yeah. And so I guess there is a benefit to that. I did get a free dinner or something.
Pretty much every time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how many times, I was like, how many times did you pay?
Never.
Okay. There we go. as a gay man, that's none of that. Usually it's either split or.
Yeah. How does that go?
It just, it's
I meant
not,
to ask you this on your podcast the other day. Like, is it just whoever asks for the date? How does that, what's the rule?
It's, see, that's the thing. There is no rule. So, you know, some people would say like, you know, the technical top or whatever, for lack of a better term, in the relationship might pay in that moment. The person with, that's older or more
like financially set or
I guess, but at the same time, like, it's still usually when you go into one, like a first date or a second date or whatever, unless someone takes the reins and says, hey, no, I've got it or whatever, it's usually like we'll probably just split it or buy our own things.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So there's a definitely a financial aspect for,
yeah, so I can't just be going on all these dates all the time.
Too expensive.
Exactly.
Well, you can just go out and meet people.
Yeah, but I will say that as of now, there's a certain person.
You got some excitement going.
Yeah, there's a certain person that's.
I think you were talking to him when you walked into my apartment earlier.
Oh yeah, earlier. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like it's going good. So we'll see, you know, we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right.
But I'm feeling good.
The elusive Zach Wickham.
Whatever.
I'm joking.
Nothing is elusive about me.
Did you know that socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters? Well, Bombas is on a mission to change that. They created the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. And for every pair of socks purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. Designed with special comfort innovations, colors, patterns, and lengths and styles, Bombas are perfect for the whole family. Get your hands on a pair of Bombas socks and your feet will thank you. Bombas has donated over 20 million pairs, counting. They are made from super soft natural cotton and every pair is designed with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's supportive but not too thick. My new favorites are their merino wool socks, designed to be breathable, dry, and never itchy, with just the right amount of thickness. With tons of different colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas also makes the perfect gift for everyone on your list. I wear them every day, travel in them, I run in them. They are the only socks I will wear when I go running. They are comfortable, supportive. I love my Bombas socks, and they're kind of a luxury. Like, they're very thick and nice, and I just love them. So, save 20% on your first purchase when you shop at bombas.com/behere. That's bombas.com/behere to save 20%. bombas.com/behere. That's bombas.com/behere. Lena said, hey girl, you were saying, okay, I responded to this person on, listen, I will say it again, and I promise one day I'm going to do a full-on episode with one of the more epic stories you'll ever hear about last summer, but like I just keep sprinkling it in. It's going to take a full-on solo episode, or you'll just have to watch the movie.
Exactly, because there's screenplays coming out.
She's asking about that, but I'll address that at some point. But I'm doing fantastic. Honestly, I don't think, and not to say that it's, you know, a lot of people do have like, you know, suffer from, you know, more and more susceptible to depression. I don't feel like I've ever been one of those people. I think I've gone through like hard times, but it's not something I like actively struggle with. I think I have a good way of talking to myself in my head and convincing myself that like things are okay. So, but yeah, I'm fine. Minus the under boob sweat I have right now because we can't have the
air conditioning
AC
on. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't want to diminish other people's experience with that. I'm not perfect or always happy, certainly, but I don't struggle to get out of bed or anything. So I feel good. So thank you for asking though. But anything that had helped me from when I was sad was the stuff I've talked about a lot on the podcast is, you know, not listening to every dumb thing your brain tells yourself and not thinking everything's the end of the world and, you know, being really proud of yourself for the things that you are good at, making a to-da list instead of just a to-do list. Like, oh, I accomplished all these things today. I had a nice conversation. It's like there's such simple things. And also, the thing that's helped me is, you know, being active. I like to run and walk and, just basic stuff of just taking care of yourself, not overdoing it. Well, I'm a workaholic for sure, so I do overdo it. Okay, so then Lena also asked, when will Zach finally have his own podcast, Zachary Wickham?
What? Well, that was kind of funny because I just started one.
And it's really good, and I was a guest earlier this week.
You were a guest earlier this week, and I cannot wait to release it. It's set to release probably, I don't know when this podcast is going to be released, but...
like next week.
So probably within a couple weeks. Before the end of October, I'm hoping, because I have a ghosting episode and I mentioned Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome. Perfect.
I need to really start releasing the episode so I can get to that episode before October's
over. What's the podcast called?
It's called The Whole Package Podcast. We do have an Instagram. It's not like, you know, the fanciest thing yet, but I'm definitely going to use it as like a sounding board for listeners and everything. So it's The Whole Package Podcast on Instagram. And on Twitter, but we're really not going to use Twitter, or I'm not going to use Twitter.
And it's primarily about dating.
It's mainly about dating, the different aspects of it, but it's also about the whole package. So like, what is the whole package you look for in life, the whole package in dating, the whole package, and just in general, in different aspects of your life. But it will mainly focus on, dating and men.
I've listened to a few of them. He hasn't released them, but like... I like the way he talks about, and he had a co-host for a little bit. She might come back in and out, or you have rotating ones.
Yeah, I did have a co-host that we tried it out at first. I don't think because her job, she is all over the place. It's very hard for her to like be in one place at one time. So I think just the first four episodes will be with her. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, it'll just be me and a guest.
But I really like the stuff you guys talk about. Like one of the things you talked about was, why are we not looking at what our green flags are? Why are we only looking at red flags? Like that was a good one. I loved on our little spoiler for our episode, which was so much fun. He found this article of like,
oh my God,
how
the best article that has ever been written.
It made my day.
It made my life.
Like it was like from the 50s, and it was like how women can find a man to marry him. It was the most ridiculous.
129 ways. 16 people basically wrote down all these things.
And they were basically like, have your car break down and see if a man will help. Get lost at a football game. Trip when you walk
Don't
into
tell
a
them
room.
All.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, they're like, it's basically like, be a moron, but.
And be clumsy.
Yeah. But also, one of them was like, make a lot of money. It's like, it was all.
It was all over the place. And But it was great. And I think this is going to be a great podcast. And I really hope one of the things I want to accomplish with it is have it be very positive, be very uplifting mm-hmm. and be a podcast that is not just based in opinions, but based in facts. So mm-hmm. anything we talk about, I want it to be, to have a backing in actual facts. Yeah. So if we talk about something, I want there to be a statistic or an article or something that supports what we're saying and not just giving an opinion. Because mm-hmm. I feel like there's too many opinion shows
yeah.
with like on Fox News or on this or on that. And it's like, okay, but what are the real facts? Like, are we talking about the real facts or yeah. are you just going to give me your opinion that doesn't matter because they don't match the real facts? Yeah, so.
Totally. And I like that it's not just two people complain or people just being like, dating sucks. It's like...
Right. It's like, and we give our own personal, like I give my own personal stories with everything.
Because dating doesn't suck, actually. It doesn't. And if you think it sucks, you're probably not going to attract anyone. You're putting out the wrong energy.
Right. Well, and one of my segments that will be on most podcasts is called Dating Disasters. And we give like what a disastrous date, but it's all in good humor. It's yeah. all in fun. Like everybody goes through bad dates.
Because for every disastrous date, there was a good one, too.
A good
too.
One, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so Meredith, for both of you, what's your favorite memory / story of one another?
I'll let you go first.
I think it was when I almost didn't go to see Tom Petty because it was with Kristen and Carter and I didn't want to be a third wheel. But we convinced you to go. So I was like, all right, I'm definitely going to go. And it was such a wonderful time. You actually enjoyed it. And it was Tom Petty died like shortly thereafter. And I would have been so heartbroken if I didn't go. And it was also just like... That wasn't necessarily your type of music, but you went and you were like fun with me. And it was like, I would have so regretted that. So you were definitely like there for me on that. So that one.
I'm always here for you.
I know. What's your favorite?
God, see, that's the problem is there's like so many. But one of my favorites would definitely have to be Britney's 28th birthday, 29th.
Mm-hmm.
The one where we went to Vegas.
Okay.
But you flew in. The day after
mm-hmm.
and then it was me, you, Brittany and Stassi.
Oh, it was
and
great.
Because it was with the girls of the cast, so all like I don't know how many, 9 of us, however mm-hmm. many there were, it was so much fun with everyone. But then when it was just me, you, Brittany and Stassi, I just feel like it was just so special. And like we just had we had nothing planned, and then we had the most epic night ever.
Yeah.
Like we ran into random vice presidents of the casino and they're like, come to our Hakkasan VIP table.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
Table.
Oh, and I tap danced in the club.
Yeah. And it was just like, and we all stayed up till like ridiculous hour. It was just so much fun.
Which
you know what I mean?
Which is like so rare. That's why you remember
That's probably why I remember it because yeah. I've never seen you stay up that early. Now, granted, you did when me, Brittany and Stassi stayed up the rest of the night until 7 or 8 in the morning. You did go to your own room.
But I stayed
and
up till at least 3 or 4.
At least 3 or 4, which is
magical.
Saying, I was like, that is saying a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to finish Lena's question. She also said after the podcast, are you still good with Stassi? Is there beef with Kristen making you take sides? And then she said, the podcast of you two together are always the best, but Zach is coming close. Okay. No beef that I know of with Stassi. I think we're all just really busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kristen does not care. She's not forcing me or anyone to take sides.
No, it's Kristen's just actually the opposite. She's like, I don't want you to take anybody's side. Like,
yeah, it's just I think people have like seasons,
ups and downs. Exactly.
Kristen's newly single, so I'm hanging out with her a little bit more, like, you know. And Stassi's, you know, just got engaged. She's like, her and Bo are always together
and they're on tour.
Yeah. Well, I know, but we right. go, I mean, I go on tour too all the time, but it's not it's too much like where everyone's just traveling yeah. and move, you know. But I think a lot of it has to do with the Kristen's newly single. So she's just more available to hang out with, you know? And I think couples naturally gravitate towards each other when they're all dating to hang out. So it's like Stassi, and Bo are hanging out with Lala and Randall and Katie and Tom more. And, you know,
yeah.
And I have my boyfriend's new and he doesn't really know our friend group. It's kind of, you know,
and he's always gone.
Yeah, seriously. So yeah, it makes sense that like, I hang out with more of the single people because Greg's gone a lot too.
Very true.
So yeah, so everything's fine. And you'll hear Kristen last week, if you haven't listened to the episode yet, she breaks down her whole situation with Stassi and Katie. So okay, what travel location is on your bucket list, and do you believe in past lives? For me, it would be Japan. I really want to go to Japan. And do I believe in past lives? Yes, I think so. I've never really researched them that much. How about you?
I 100%. I don't know if I, like, here's my thing. Could it happen, or could past lives be real? Absolutely. We live in like a multiverse. Like, who knows what is really anything? Like, we don't even, we could literally be living in the Matrix.
Totally.
And we wouldn't know. But I do believe in past lives because I've always thought that I was Egyptian in a past life, but not just like a regular Egyptian. I definitely was like royalty Egyptian.
Why do you have that feeling?
Because I have a very strong connection with cats and with Egypt in general. Like every time I think of Egypt or think of certain, like I know a lot about Egyptian culture, and Egyptology is so fascinating to me, and the fact that it was like basically the first civilization, and we really discount it a lot, but like we're always like, oh well, it's only, you know, Egypt only goes back like, I don't know, like less than 20,000 years, when really if you look at like the full timeline of things, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's that was the first civilization. It was much larger than it was and everything. And I don't know, I just love Egypt. Yeah. And so I always feel a strong
location too.
It's not actually
really,
because the Middle East is just very crazy right now. So it's not, I do like, would I want to go? Yes. But I would want to go, if I could go back in time and go to ancient Egypt, that would be great. No, my bucket list is Hong Kong.
Okay.
I love.
So we both want to go to Asian countries. For some reason, I feel like I'm more drawn to Japan.
Well, but see, I want to go to Tokyo and Japan too. Mm-hmm. I've also heard that if you're a tall white man with blue, or like a tall white person in general with like blue eyes, that you are like, they will just like, people will just come up and take pictures with you.
Oh my gosh.
And my friend just was in Hong Kong, and it happened to him. He was with a celebrity, and the person asked to take a picture, and then he goes, sure. And then because he was going to pick up the camera from the person.
Yeah.
And then the guy hands it to the celebrity instead of my friend, and takes a picture with my friend. And the celebrity's like, wow, okay, I see how it is.
Like, that's hilarious.
It was so crazy. So I think that'd be a really interesting
I want to go with you there. I'll be the person that takes all the photos.
Perfect.
So I'll be your like assistant. Okay. Gosh, there's so many more, and we're already at 50 minutes, but we'll try to do them quick. Let's
just pick like two.
But I can't. Okay. Let's swim to the moon. I didn't know what their real name was. Where do you get your confidence? My parents just always instilled it in me. They refused to tell me I was fat when I was fat when I was little, or tell me I needed to go on a diet. They always built me up, and that's carried into adulthood, maybe to a degree that I should calm down a little bit. But that's, for me, I just was raised with it, and they told me I could do anything and be anything. And yeah,
I would say it's actually a lot of my grade school teachers. Definitely, like, not that my parents didn't, but like my grade school teachers were definitely really the biggest cheerleaders. Like, shout out to Miss Clem, you're amazing, and probably my biggest cheerleader ever. Like, aww. I went to get grad school.
She's definitely listening to this.
Well, I went to I'm gonna send it to her now.
Do it.
But I got my MBA, went through grad school, because she was like, you know, maybe you should do, and I was like, you know what, why am I not doing it? But she gave me the confidence to just like be like, yeah. And she always believed in me. A lot of my, like, I got really lucky with my grade school. And I know that's so weird, but it's like K through eighth. I feel like those are such formative years.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to one of the top ones in Kentucky, and I just had the best teachers. Yeah. And I just am so thankful.
It's your formative years, I think, that really do. I mean, I know that you can change how you feel about yourself later, but when it comes naturally, I think it's because you were treated, you know, you were built up when you were a kid. But listen, guys, you can always turn that around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me, you can. You know, make friends your family if your family sucked, and you just learn to value yourself.
Or make friends your family anyway, even if you're, because like, I don't have any, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
I have no brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
My friends were my family, you know, like, were part of my family.
Yeah, totally. Really quickly, are you still friends with Annabelle DeSisto and Jacqueline Marfuji? Jacqueline, yes. Haven't talked to Annabelle in a while. Wish her the best. Would Zach want to be on VPR? And any funny stories about Britney? Can you do that quickly?
I mean, I'm the...
I guess we don't have to rush it. I think we're just so hot in here because we had to have the AC
probably
off.
I guess we don't need to rush it. And who cares if we go over?
We both have like birthday dinners too.
It's fine.
Yeah.
As far as VPR, I'm the number one background character, so I'm chill with that.
you think you're the number one backer on campus?
You're like,
bitch.
Whatever.
No, I don't even
you
want
actually,
to be.
No, I know.
I really don't want to be involved.
And then funny stories about Brittany. Sorry, those are confidential. That's how friendships go.
I mean, I feel like funny stories about Brittany are just like, I'll give some. I just think she's the most happy person to be around. So like if you just go hang out at their house, like with her and Jack, she's just always singing and dancing and listening to country. Like she's,
yeah, I was like, we always,
she's
okay,
just a
actually,
ray of light.
Here, okay, I'll give this a funny story. So basically Brittany and I decided, or I guess Brittany decided, she was like, we should learn Sierra's.
Steven told this on the podcast already.
Oh, he already did. Okay. Well, that was, oh, well, that was my favorite. I would say that's like one of the funniest stories. We taped dishcloths to our knees and tried to learn a choreographed Sierra dance. So
and how did that go?
You know what? Nobody sees any footage, so I'm gonna go with it went great.
It was great.
It was
She's
great.
Probably gonna hire you guys. Do you ever
Sierra's reaching out now?
Someone asked if we get paid for the Vanderpump cast. No, because we're not on it. So that was pretty quick to answer that.
Yeah.
But we have other careers. I mean, I certainly don't have any interest. Are you going to get any pets? Grace A. Tomlin. Yeah, eventually when I have a house.
I travel too much.
Yeah, I mean,
I love other, like, Kingsley and Monroe and Bowie. Oh, my God, Bowie's, like, one of my favorites.
So
and, like,
cute.
They're, and Luda. Luda is always a whore for me.
Were you friends with Bravo peeps before they started? Yes, I was been friends with them for the entire time I've lived in LA for the most part, or half the cast. Who was my favorite podcast guest this year so far? No, it was Wendy McLennan Covey.
Oh,
sorry.
You know what? She
was really great, really
me,
honest. Yeah, she was really. She's so down to earth. I'm like, you're a big movie and TV star. Like, you don't need to be so amazing and sweet and down to earth. Like, and she was just really honest about her life and her story. So, Wendy McLennan Covey. Oh,
I love that. I love that when you meet somebody that, because like I do, I have always really admired her and her acting, even with Reno 911. Like at the
that show was so funny.
She's a very underrated actress, and it's really sad that she doesn't get more.
She gets a lot, actually.
Well, no, but she doesn't get more attention or like clout. I don't know.
I
feel like
she
deserves more.
I think she does. I just think it's a. I think you're comparing it to like, okay, so like. Our reality friends might be like they have more followers or more famous or whatever, but it's a different type of thing. I think that she's going.
Oh no,
for,
I meant
so.
Like she should win the Emmy. You know what I mean? Like every year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying like in that regard.
She's
but no,
amazing.
I just think she's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
And to learn that she's like down to earth just makes it that much better because we're
wonderful.
But we're both around celebrities all the time, and some of them are just not great.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are wonderful, but some of them are not great, and
yeah.
It's like ugh.
It's
so nice.
She
it's refreshing
even, like,
when you meet.
She live in Hollywood. She lives like in Long Beach, and she's married to the same guy that she's been with forever. She's just really chill. Zach, did you ever see the guy again from Dating? Unfiltered. It's No Filter.
No
though.
Filter.
Yeah. Did you?
We see. He works at a store in WeHo, and we bump into each other all the time because obviously. You know, the gayborhood is only so big in mm-hmm. so many gay bars, which actually you would
oh, you
think.
You do bump into him all the time.
All the time.
Have I ever met him with you?
I don't think so. Hmm. He was not real. Him and I were like real cool until the episode actually aired. And then at the very end of the episode,
what?
I say that like he's a four if kisser. Because he pulled away or I don't know. I was drunk by that point. Did y'all not see how many tequila shots I took? But no, like I said, I was so sorry. Like that's obviously not what I meant. And we're totally cool now. But yeah, I see him out every once in a while, but we don't hang out.
Okay. And that was Sarah Stoned again. What's her name? Michaela D. Stevens wants to know if you can please dish a little bit about James Gossip. I'm very anti-James. I mean, I don't know why I'm thinking that she's talking to you because I feel like you sound off on that, or you sound off more on Billie Lee stuff.
I'm pretty aggressive towards both of them.
Okay, so you give her some James Gossip.
Well, see, here's the thing. You know, especially with like, I don't like to gossip in the regards that if he does something that is bad, mm-hmm. then I'm just gonna say I'll just voice my opinion like. See, this is why nobody likes you, or this is why whatever. Like when he does things that deserve that. But if he doesn't, then obviously I'm not going to talk bad about him. And it's not even that I don't like the guy. It's like, I just, if he does something that's bad, it's like, dude, learn, just mm-hmm. learn. But I feel like maybe he is, because he hasn't had like an outburst lately.
Yeah.
And I feel like from what I've heard and seen, he's doing okay right now. So on, and you know, honestly, I'm the first one to hold people accountable, because mm-hmm. I hold myself accountable when I do stupid stuff.
Yeah, I haven't heard that much about him lately.
But yeah, like I feel like he's doing, which I'm proud of him. Like if he is turning over a new leaf, my thing is, I don't hate anyone. I don't have issues with anyone, as long as they're like sorry and they actually try to change the behavior mm-hmm. that they're exhibiting. And when yeah. he's doing that in those moments, yeah, it's like, good for him.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure that's not the bashing you wanted, but that's...
No, I'd prefer not to talk shit about people.
Exactly.
I don't care enough about anything. I care about like building people up more than anything.
Exactly.
But my loyalty will always be to Kristen in that
respect. Oh, 1,000%.
The same girl asked if you can do a Screwed Up Stories podcast. He already did one. So check it out. Well, Zach Wickham, thank you so much for doing this. Tell everyone where they can follow you on the social media.
At Zach Wickham, ZACKWICKHAM, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And Periscope, if that still exists, but I do have it.
Does it?
Also on Tinder and no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Tinder and Grindr.
Like, I don't think you can search that way.
Hilarious. All right. I love you guys. Follow me. DM me on the Instagram at Rachel, RachelNOBRIEN. Hope to see you at my shows. Philly, Delaware, Detroit, Long Island. There'll be more. LA always. Probably New York at some point soon.
And maybe.
Oh, Zach and I will probably do a... kind of how Chris and I are doing in Detroit. Like, I'll do stand-up up top, and then I'll bring her on stage, and we'll do a live podcast. Zach and I want to do a similar format in Louisville or Lexington, Kentucky.
So if you're from that area or would like one or the other.
How far are they from each other?
They're like 45 minutes to an hour, depending.
I feel like I get more messages from people from Lexington.
Yeah. So maybe we have to go to Lexington. But, yeah. Like, sound off and let Rachel know.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.